I'd like to share with you the gospel lesson for today. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, 25th chapter, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. No doubt you'll find these words familiar. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave five valuable coins, and to another he gave two, and to another he gave one. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability, and then he left on his journey. After the man left, the servant who had five valuable coins took them and went to work, doing business with them. He gained five more. In the same way, the one who had two valuable coins gained two more. But the servant who had received the one valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received five valuable coins came forward with five additional coins, and he said, "Master, you gave me five valuable coins, and look, I've gained five more." His master replied, "Excellent. You are a good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me." The second servant also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two valuable coins. Look, here, I've gained two more." His master said, "Well done. You are a good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little bit. I will put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me." Now the one who had received the one valuable coin came and said, "Master, I knew that you were a hard man. You harvest grain where you hadn't even planted any. You gather crops where you haven't spread any seeds. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. So here it is. See, here is what is yours." His master replied, "You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest grain where I haven't even sown, and that I gather crops where I haven't even spread any seed. In that case, you should have turned your money over to the bankers, so that when I returned, you could at least give me what belonged to me with interest. Therefore, take the valuable coin from him and give it to the one who has ten. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit that they have will be taken away from them. Now take the worthless servant and throw him outside into the darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth." This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. As hard as it is to understand, it is the word of the Lord. I think Jesus means to honor the efforts of those who use what they have wisely. And it's not just about money. Yes, a talent in the biblical language was a unit of money or a measure of gold. But we use talents to mean something different. And it may not be gold for you. It may not be that that's what's been invested in your life. But maybe you've been given a gift to be able to share, to identify with someone, to reach someone that no one else could reach, to work with children, to sing in the choir. Whatever your gifts, some of you have not discovered what your gifts are yet. Maybe it's just a good listening ear to understand someone else and help them think through an issue. Maybe it's just to be a good neighbor. I'm not talking about State Farm. I'm talking about your neighborhood. Our neighborhood's very friendly. We've had visits from people up and down the street. Maybe you're called to be something that nobody else could be. And you're called to use that little part of what is invested in you to plant in someone else and cause a great deal of growth. It's not just about money. Maybe it's about faith. Maybe it's about planting seeds. In another place, Jesus talks about the faith of a grain of mustard, the smallest of all seeds, which when planted grows into a very large shrubbery-type plant. It's important what we plant. You know that. You've taught your children that. And if you're a child, your parents have taught you that. That it's important what you plant, because what you plant is what you will harvest. If we plant fear in our lives, we're going to harvest fear. But if we plant faith, and if we allow faith to be planted in us, then we're going to harvest faith. Did you know those are opposites? Much of the world is controlled by fear, petty fear, and sometimes pretty large, very appropriate fear. But even the smallest of fears can become a controlling agent in our lives. It can dominate us. Great fears control nations. We probably could feed all the people of the world if we could stop building arms because we're afraid. Sometimes fear is justified, and defense is important. But if we as a world could eliminate our fears, what else could we grow so much more deeply and productively in the place of our fear? In the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Those of you who make peace will be happy. You will be God's own." Yet even we Christians are sometimes preoccupied with fear and protecting ourselves because we maybe don't trust enough. Maybe we don't trust what Jesus said enough. The parable of the talents, those three servants in today's passage, can be an antidote to fear. We doubt ourselves because we are afraid. We doubt ourselves because we do not trust the Holy Spirit within us to help us fulfill all that God wants us to become. Dr. Earl Loomis, in his book, The Self in Pilgrimage, intriguing title, The Self in Pilgrimage, he writes, "The literature is full of stories of people who knew they had talent and yet failed to use it because of fear. There are untold stories of thousands, maybe millions of individuals who unconsciously disguise their virtues because they, or we, are afraid to use them. When we bend to that fear, we lose the riches of authentic living in the process of becoming and being all that God created us to be. And that does not have a happy ending. In a way, we human beings are like the battery in a flashlight. If it's not used, it corrodes. We have to use the gifts that God has planted within us, because what we don't use will go to waste. We cannot keep what we do not share." So faith and fear are opposites. They work against each other. Faith gives us confidence to act, while fear paralyzes us. Let us not give in to it. When I was a child in fifth or sixth grade, in band, we would have tryouts in our sections. And one day when the trumpet section was going to be trying out, each person playing individually for the band director, he was just moving down the row. And you know, on those days, if you do well, you get to move up in the section to a higher chair. And if you do poorly, you move down. But for some reason, one day when we were having such tryouts, I realized while I was sitting there listening to other people play their auditions that I wasn't nervous at all. and that I really hadn't ever suffered from being nervous. And I thought to myself, I wonder what it's like to be nervous. And so I started practicing being nervous. And I could tell my heart started beating a little faster. Maybe my palms started sweating. And I started letting myself give to that. And just really became quite anxious. And it was a brand new feeling for me at that time. I guess before that I hadn't had enough sense to be afraid. But as I waited my turn to play, I breathed shallowly and I breathed faster and I wrung my hands a little. And when the director came around to me, it was my turn to play. I tried to pull up out of that sinkhole of fear, and I couldn't do it. I found that in my flirting with fear, the anxious feelings had overtaken me, and I couldn't shake it off. The director looked at me rather puzzled because he had never seen me like that before. I was an anxious mess, and I played with a shaky tone, and I missed notes. Because I had nurtured my fear, I could hardly breathe, much less play my horn. Anxious fear is the opposite of faith. We need to learn to nurture faith and not fear. In our best moments, faith gives us the confidence we need to set fear aside. Some years ago in South America, a crew of Peruvian sailors headed up the Amazon River came upon a strange sight. There was a Spanish ship that was anchored off the coast, right at the mouth of the water from the Amazon River. And all the sailors on that Spanish ship were stretched out weakly on the deck of the ship. And as the Peruvians drew closer, they realized that the Spaniards were in terrible shape. They looked like the picture of death itself. Their lips were parched and swollen, and they were literally dying of thirst. "Can we help you?" shouted the Peruvians. The Spaniards cried out in their weak voices, "Water! Water! We need fresh water!" The Peruvian sailors were surprised at their request, and they told them to lower their buckets and to help themselves. The Spaniards figured they'd been misunderstood, and so they called back, "No, not salty ocean water. We need fresh water." But they received the same reply from the Peruvians. "Let down your buckets and draw water up." They finally did lower their buckets into the ocean right there at the mouth of the river. And when they brought the buckets back to the deck, they found, in their amazement, fresh water. They were anchored there near the mouth of the river, anchored there for days, too far from land to see the coast, but they were so close to the mouth of the river that fresh water was coming right out of the river into their path, and they didn't even know it. See, their fear had overtaken their faith. Apathy had overtaken them, and they quit even trying to get water. They were resigned to die when all that was needed was to lower their buckets into that flowing stream. That small effort would have made all the difference. Fear is the enemy of faith. And fear, as you know, can paralyze you. I hope you don't let your talents, the best gifts that God has planted inside of you, go to waste because of your fear, because you're not confident that they will work out well or that you can use them. You may not think you have much, but what you have is what somebody else needs. What you have is a gift from God that is invested in you and should be used to help reach people for faith. In the story that I read from Matthew, the one who had only one talent was so afraid of losing it that he hid it under a rock. He was afraid that he would lose it, and he hid it so that he could find it again someday and present it back to his master proudly, I'm sure. But in the end, he completely lost it because the master took it back from him and said, well, take that one and give it to the one who has 10, now 11. It was given away to those who had confidently taken risks and used their gifts, exercised them, and put them to work. Listen to how this poem describes it. I don't know who wrote this, but I found it in my files. It describes very well the strategy for life employed by the one talent servant, the one who hid it in the ground. It goes like this. There was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked. He never tried. He never sang or prayed. And when he passed away, his insurance was denied. For since he never really lived, they said he never died. Let us not be ones who bury our only gift and waste it or let it go tarnished and unused. Let us be ones who live fully in response to God's life invested in us and respond by making a good turn of those gifts and increasing them so that they may be shared with others. Mark Twain said one time, even if you're on the right track, you can get run over if you just sit there. The one talent servant in our lesson today in the gospel surely could have used that common sense from Mark Twain. The one talent servant did not invest himself or his resources, and thus he inherited what he had invested, which was absolutely nothing. So what's in you that needs to come out? What's in you that needs to take on a life and become living and be multiplied? What is the thing that you could invest to encourage others or even maybe to make a miracle? What are you afraid of? The tragedy of life is not that it ends too soon, but that we wait too long to begin it. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.